Good morning. Welcome to Berea Baptist Church. On a very unusual day that I will try to keep as normal as possible. Today is March the 15th of 2020. I am the only one in the sanctuary right now. It's 11 o'clock or a little thereafter. The world has been infected by COVID-19, the coronavirus. We're not holding services today. Nor will we hold services next week. But our hope is that this podcast blesses you, enhances your relationship with Almighty God, and that you may learn something about His good word, that you may be inspired to help each other, even in our concerns of social distance. Obviously, this is a serious matter. And all joking aside, you know, today is March the 15th, the Ides of March. Beware of the Ides of March, so says the soothsayer in Shakespeare's tragedy, Julius Caesar, predicting the death of the emperor. You know, life goes on. It wasn't long thereafter that a baby was born. A baby who was crowned with thorns. And this morning, I want to share with you a little story about finding a bush yesterday, walking through the woods. I have never seen this bush before, nor have I seen anything like it in my life. There were thorns on this bush that were, up to 3 inches. I looked at that thing and I said, that's a Jesus thorn bush. And I'm not being funny, not trying to be profane in any way, but I could just think about the crown of thorns that produced the blood of Jesus, which ultimately is our hope. Even in the midst of this coronavirus and no March Madness, we have enough madness as it is. This is just a very unusual time. It's not like the world has never faced this before, and perhaps we're even more prepared than we ever have been. But if we reflect back on last week's parable that Dr. Wortham shared with us, the parable of the sower, and it talks about the thorns that grow up. One can make an argument that the soil was the same. But see, the worries and the anxieties of this world choke out the good plant. We cannot allow what is happening to choke out the goodness that God gives us. We must use this as an opportunity to bring glory to God. We must use this opportunity to help one another. We know that God is going to allow this to open doors that may otherwise not have been opened. One may be the simple use of this podcast. where people are going to tune in a little bit more. And then when perhaps they're not here for whatever reason, they tune in and they stay current and they hear God's word proclaimed and all his goodness. And so this morning, let's remember the crown of thorns and the salvific act of Jesus in his blood and his righteousness, and how that blood has paved the way for us to live not in fear, because as the Bible says, that perfect love drives out fear. That we should be yoked with Jesus so that our burdens will be light, and that we may go through the day with hope. With hope that this too will pass. And so as we gather together, cyberly, not even sure that's a real word. I just made it up, so there it is. It's a real word now. As we gather together cyberly, let us join our hearts and mind in prayer, especially for those that we continue to lift up from our prayer list. We continue to remember William Small and Linda Fogelman and Ann Williams, Lori Gentry, who has made back-to-back appearances for the last 2 weeks. What a joy to see Lori and Mike in our midst. It was good to see Sue last week, and we pray for her niece, Sherry. Of course, we need to remember Aubrey and Juanita Vickers. And let us not forget our Marine, Brandon Hudson, as well as James Smith, who has been added to the prayer list. I would like to add Evan and Lucy Kate to our prayer concerns. Sadly to say, Evan and Lucy lost their dear child, Moses. Moses was to be born in the month of May. Moses entered the world a month ago. Moses passed away this week. Evan is a colleague of mine, department chair of the theology department. Wonderful man. Lucy, actually, I coached against her father. He's a pastor at Blacknall Presbyterian. Dunderdale, Dave Dunderdale. Superman. Times like this, canceling March Madness or my baseball season, seems so trivial. For things in life are of greater value than what we miss with athletic events, as fun as they can be. But remember, God is greater than all of this. God is greater than our sin, and God is greater than all of these concerns that we have. So, Lord, we come to you now in prayer, and we lift up these people we have mentioned this morning. And, Lord, we continue to seek your guidance to give us direction, to give us answers, to give us security, so that we may hold on to the hope that you have professed. And Lord knows, he who has promised is faithful. Lord, we thank you for at least the opportunity to broadcast into the world from 5011 Fayetteville Road in Durham, North Carolina, Berea Baptist Church. And if you will join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our opening hymn this morning will be 652, Jesus Loves Me. We'll sing the first and last verse of Jesus Loves Me. Let us stand and sing together.
Does tell us that Jesus loves us, and throughout the Old and the New Testament we are reminded that God's love continues, and that it was there then, it is here now, and it will be here tomorrow. Dear Lord, we ask that you take these gifts and these offerings and use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, now it's time for children's time. So let's gather around. Yes, you are so well behaved today. Not even making a peep. Wow. This is amazing. Wow, we've been doing this for, you know, a month or so now. And wow, they've learned how to get in line and they've learned how to sit still and now be quiet. Wow, this is amazing. If you could help teach some of my students these characteristics, that would be wonderful. So we've been looking at the days of creation, and today is day five. Day five. So if you say, give me five, but we should probably leave it to a fist bump or an elbow tap or a, you know, no handshakes, no hugs in this current time. So five fingers and five toes, unless you're a Philistine. Related to Goliath, who had six fingers and toes. Some giants, this is true. They have found evidence of that archaeologically. So, and you can find that in the Bible too. Okay, so let me read the day of creation number five. Then God said, let the water swarm with living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the large sea creatures and every living creature that moves and swarms in the water according to their kind. He also created every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So God blessed them. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Evening came, and then morning, the fifth day. Wow. The word, some translations say team, T-E-E-M, which means swarm, to be everywhere. And what's kind of interesting is God tells us to be fruitful and multiply. But he says the same things to the creatures and all the fish of the sea. But what's interesting is God has called us to be fishers of people, to cast our nets into the ocean of the world, to bring them in God's goodness, to bring them on board into God's ship, who's the captain of our destiny. So I guess it's time to move on. Okay. All right. Please do not make any noise when you exit. Off to CIA you go. Get your coloring books out. Get your crayons. That's right. Okay, so we're going to go into our congregational hymn in a second after I have a reading of the book, from the book. Not the whole book, just from the book of Leviticus. So what's interesting is the book of Leviticus, and I've chosen this text, hopefully it will become clear as I go through, but one of the ironies of having this text is our current situation. Our current situation in the world with the coronavirus. And if you didn't know, corona, the reason why it's called coronavirus is because it looks like a crown. So you've probably seen pictures of it, and so it's crown-like, these things protruding out, which takes us back to the thorns and the crown of thorns, the anxieties of the world, and who we should really trust. Do we really trust God in God's sovereignty, that he ultimately is in control, that we don't understand why this is happening? I've struggled all week with this, and not just the coronavirus, but what I explained earlier about my friend Evan. This is a tragedy. You know, how do we come alongside somebody that experiences this? How do we care for one another? Who are our neighbors? That's today's sermon title. Who are our neighbors? This is critical. This is critical to who we are as a church and how we function as a church. The book of Leviticus, as in the tribe of Levi, these are priestly laws. And there are all kinds of things in here. And if you don't have to look far, where they're already talking about some sorts of diseases, if you will. 13th and 14th chapter of Leviticus is pretty much dedicated to skin diseases and mold and what needs to be done to eradicate this mold. And this is not new. This morning, I'll be reading from the 19th chapter. So Leviticus, so we started in the beginning with Genesis. We're jumping over the plagues because we got enough plagues going on in the world right now. So this Exodus, and then we get to Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, which actually will be referenced later. So, chapter 19, Leviticus, I hope you're there. And I simply will be reading from verse 1 through 18. The Lord spoke to Moses. Speak to the entire Israelite community and tell them, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. All kidding aside, in today's social distance restrictions, being set apart, this is what holy is. One of the ironies of what's going on is we are called to be transformed, to not conform to the patterns of this world. We are not to be of the world, but we are certainly in the world. And we are affected by what happens in the world around us. The coronavirus is penetrating our world. We may not know someone specifically. You know, as of Friday the 13th, 41 deaths have occurred in the United States alone. There are almost 1,700 cases. 46 states and D.C. are affected. There are only four states, Idaho, West Virginia, Alaska, and Alabama, who've yet to have a case of the coronavirus. Being separated is one of the suggestions. Isolation, quarantine. And don't forget to wash your hands. Some say 30 seconds, some say 20. Simply wash your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Each of you is to respect his mother and father. You are to keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn idols or make images of gods for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. When you offer a fellowship sacrifice to the Lord, sacrifice it that you may be accepted. It is to be eaten on the day you sacrifice it, or the next day. But what remains on the third day must be burned up. If any is eaten on the third day, it is a repulsive thing. It will not be accepted. Anyone who eats it after on the third day will bear his punishment, for he has profaned what is holy to the Lord. That person must be cut off from his people. Cut off. Quarantined. Shunned. Exiled. Yet not excommunicated. There's the good news, that there is reconciliation. But there are so many things, if you read the book of Leviticus, there are so many requirements of what the priest will go through to see if something is clean or unclean. Should it be, can it be restored? Does it need to be burned up? When you reap the harvest of your land, you are not to reap to the very edge of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You must not strip your vineyard bare or gather its fallen grapes. Leave them for the poor and the foreign resident. I am the Lord your God. So this is the whole essence of gleaning. So the greatest gleaner we can think of would be Ruth. Ruth, who gleaned in the field of Boaz, who ended up marrying Boaz. And then eventually had a child, Obed. Had a child, Jesse, who had a son named David. Yes, that David. So what's interesting is, like, we live in a culture now to maximize acreage, which makes a lot of sense, but to get every fruit that we can off of the what we're trying to maximize our yield. And in here, it's like, no, don't do that, because there are people traveling through. You know, we think about, like, who is our neighbor? You know, we live in a global world now. The United States is infected.
To run out of batteries, but I have not run out of batteries. So in a global society, the community has now, it's like shrinking. The irony is that as connected as we are, in some ways, the world is less connected. As connected as we are, the world in many ways is less connected. But back in the time when this is written, you know, people are traveling through all these places, and it was totally right and proper to pick fruit on your journey. Probably because you're hungry. So, continuing on, verse 11. You must not steal. You must not act deceptively or lie to one another. You must not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You must not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages due a hired hand must not remain with you until morning. You must not curse a deaf or blind person, putting a stumbling block in front of the blind, but you are to fear your God. I am the Lord. You must not act unjustly when rendering judgment. Do not be partial to the poor or give preference to the rich. Judge your neighbors fairly. You must not go about spreading slander among your people. You must not jeopardize your neighbor's life. If you're sick, stay at home. You must not hate your brother in the heart. Rebuke your neighbor directly, and you will not incur guilt because of him. Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his holy word.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole?
Hello. Okay. Well, I have actually changed mics while the music was playing. I will be honest with you. This is, I think it's easier when everybody's here. I could just go ahead now and just say, hey, you know, back when I was in college at Atlantic Christian College, it's now called Barton, I graduated with a radio and television broadcasting degree. That's right. So this is kind of normal, although I am abnormal. I totally accept that. I understand that. So anyway, this is a little bit of a scramble, and I appreciate all your patience. So, reading from the Gospel of Luke, a parable. The parable of the Good Samaritan, a very familiar parable. And what is just fascinating about this parable is how ubiquitous it is. And I'll bring you some of that later. Chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Robbie and I have chosen these parables. They're exclusive. You can only find them in the Gospel of Luke, in parables. And I've kind of come up with a definition, if you will, for a parable, at least kind of a sub-definition or of some sort. A parable is a simple story that self-inflicts and convicts. Self-inflicts and convicts. You see, the parable allows the hearer to hear on his own terms, on her own terms, without being attacked. Then, after it is inflicted, the hope is that the Holy Spirit will help the convicting part. Clearly, this happens in this story of the Good Samaritan in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25. Just then, or on an occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus asked. "How do you read it?" "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor," that is, love your neighbor as yourself, as we saw in Leviticus. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength, with everything you possibly have. This comes from Deuteronomy, chapter 6, the Shema. Very, very familiar verses. So the expert in the law, he knows what's going on, but how do you read it? We'll get back to that later. "You've answered correctly," Jesus told him. "Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus took up the question and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, beat him up, and fled, leaving him half dead. A priest
happened to be going by. When he saw him, he passed on the other side. In the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan on his journey came up to him, and when he saw him, had compassion on him. He went over to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend." Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The one who showed mercy to him, the expert of the law replied. And Jesus said, "Go and do the same."
Shall be till I die.
Okay, so what we have now is the rest of the hour. The Good Samaritan. There are Good Samaritan laws. Good Samaritan laws, the laws that are put into place to protect people who assist someone that are hurting, right? So, you know, somebody is, I mean, just like the story, right? That Jesus tells. Somebody had got beat up going down this road from Jerusalem to Jericho. So Good Samaritan laws are secular laws that protect the individual who helps somebody from lawsuits, from being sued. In fact, to take it a step further, there actually are some places in the world that the term is duty to assist. In other words, rather than the one who helps the victim, so to speak, from being sued, the one who does not help the victim may be sued because they have a duty to assist. We have a duty as Christians to assist. We have a duty to assist. Jesus says, go and do likewise. The expert in the law who comes to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life, simply says, love the Lord your God and love neighbor. Then he wants to justify himself. Who is my neighbor? And we ask the question, who are our neighbors? Who are we called to help? You know, what's interesting is the Samaritan's purse. So we participate in the Samaritan's purse. And obviously, Samaritan's purse gets its name from the parable of the Good Samaritan. And 50 years ago, in 1970, is when the Samaritan's purse began. Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. Bob Pierce wrote these now famous words in his Bible after visiting suffering children on the Korean island of Gyeongju. This impassioned prayer is what guided him as he founded and led the ministry of Samaritan's Purse in 1970. His mission for this organization was to meet emergency needs in crisis areas through existing evangelical mission agencies in national churches. And we are part of that mission. So Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, this parable just has penetrated the world, both in the religious realm and the secular sector. So that's the way the Bible works too, you know. And so in this parable, let's talk about the realistic reality of this. So going from Jerusalem to Jericho, it's an elevation difference of about 3,600 feet. That's a lot. And a lot of people, if you think about like an old Western, right? where they're traveling through and he's got these rocky places and little places to hide and ambush people. Well, this is that road. This road is still dangerous. In fact, in the early 1900s, a man was like warned and writes about like how dangerous it was where people would be robbed and then the robbers would run off into the hills before the police can even get there. There's just too many opportunities. William Barclay, this is an interesting tidbit of information for you. So William Barclay, let me read this. William Barclay is a skilled writer in the notable succession of Scottish Bible expositors and a lecturer in the New Testament and Hellenistic Greek at the University of Glasgow. Combining scholarship and popular appeal to a remarkable degree, he holds a unique position of favor among the ministers, Sunday school teachers, and other church workers in Great Britain. It was the success of the Daily Study Bible series in his own country that led to the decision to publish an American edition. The books originally appeared under the auspices of the Church of Scotland. William Barclay, what I call the Little Blue Books. I have three copies. Not full copies, but I inherited a copy from Pawpaw, my mother's father, Grandfats, my father's father, and Jay Fogelman. Obviously, they're pretty important. So there's the three preachers that had copies of this set. I love these little blue books, but I want to push back against Barclay when he writes about this, that this man who traveled alone was foolish and had it coming to him for even thinking about going alone. This is how dangerous this road is. Yeah, sometimes we can't help but be alone, to be secluded. Sometimes we may be physically alone or secluded. We may be emotionally alone or secluded. We talk about how connected the world is now. Friends, teen suicide has quadrupled since the 1950s. It doesn't sound like we're much more connected. The interesting thing about this story is that this man, for some reason, is traveling alone. Not a good idea. I agree. And he's robbed. His clothes are even stolen. A value commodity in the day, of course. Even in today's world, certain articles of clothing, whether they're shoes, handbags, or whatever, are stolen. And some people are beaten down just to get them. But this man is left half dead, the text tells us. And here comes a priest. Surely this man will help. Now think about who Jesus is talking to here. He is talking to the expert of the law, the Torah, one who would certainly know the duties and responsibilities of the priest. Clearly, ceremonial cleanliness was greater than caring for one's neighbor in this case. For the priest kept on going. And then the Levite. All priests are Levites. Not all Levites are priests. He comes by, takes a look, keeps on going. And mostly, probably because the man looks dead. Don't come in contact with the dead body. And then here comes what might be considered the villain. You see, the relationship between the Samaritans and the Jews are as hostile as they get. For a Jew, the Samaritan is a mutt, a half-breed. A genetic heretic. Although from the same family tree, the Samaritans are now in this culture despised. Jesus even tells the disciples when he sends them out. In the Gospel of Luke, he just sent out 72. In the Gospel of Matthew, he says, don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans. I reckon they just ain't ready for it. But clearly, Jesus works with the Samaritans. I mean, you don't have to read far in the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter, the woman at the well. So here comes the Samaritan, who takes his time, who takes his resources, puts him on his animal, bandages him up, takes him to the inn, gives him 2 days' wage to pay for whatever needs to be handled financially for this stranger he just met, and implying in the text, the Samaritan has good credit because he convinces the innkeeper, one would assume, that I'll be back and I will pay for whatever needs to be paid for. Are we willing to go that far? Are we willing to bandage the wounds physically and emotionally of our neighbors? If there's one thing that's clear in today's world, neighbors are not limited to a neighborhood. That our responsibility, as Jesus told us, to go ye therefore from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the world. Friends, we have a responsibility to care for our neighbors, for one another in this world. Are we able and willing to go and do likewise as Jesus clearly has instructed? That's the question. Are we willing to go and do likewise? It's not a question of who did the right thing. It's a question of will we go and do likewise?
In his grace this hour, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Well, that concludes today's service. I hope you enjoyed it. I don't know if you stayed in there the whole time. I was probably rambling all over the place and trying to do this and do that. We need to get some AA batteries. Put that on the list. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, wash your hands, care for your neighbor. But most of all, think about the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? The answer is simple as the thorns of Jesus. Placing your trust in Jesus. Ask yourself, are you saved? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His countenance shine upon you, both now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen.